We believe in God the Father. We believe in God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. Thank God for being a part of our lives. Being a part of our lives and allowing us to sit at his feet to learn his word. As I said to you previously, that part of your issue in life is distractions. And distractions will keep you from what's important in your life. One of the biggest struggles I have is just that, distractions. You know, focused on going in a particular place, doing a particular thing. And because I get distracted, I never fully realize who I can become. Now, as I said before, if you're going to be a disciple and you sit under me, you must have pen and paper because you never know what God's going to say. You need to have your iPad. You need to have your whatever you use to take notes because I need you to, as disciples, to begin to think differently. We talk about kingdom language, but there's a kingdom attitude that you have to have as well, which means is that if I'm going to sit before the Lord to hear, if you take the time to come and sit before the Lord to hear what he has to say, then the kingdom mind is he's going to say something that's going to change my life. So you begin to write down, document what the Lord has said. The Bible says, write the vision, make it plain, so that they that read it may what? Run. I don't know about you, but the problem is that we got too many people walking. They're not running because, number one, you can't run if you're not confident. Oh, my God, that is a truth. That is a truth. I don't know what they keep doing with my microphone. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right. Wow, I thought everybody. Okay, here we go. I want you to go and remember this story. I want you to go, and we're going to talk about, just so you know, we're going to continue with the four things you need to have in order to invoke the presence of God. And what we're talking about is discipline. Discipline. It's a word that we don't want to hear in a lot of our environments, and definitely not what we hear in our communities. No one wants to be disciplined. Everybody wants to have the extreme. They want to be able to say, I want to be able to drink to the uttermost. I don't want a limit on my drinking because I just want to know there's a extreme pleasure when I drink. But God said, do all things in moderation. Paul put it this way when it came to drinking. He says, listen, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. And then he repeats himself in the second words. He says, all things are lawful, but I will not, but yet all things are not expedient. And he put that word conjunction there, I will not be brought under the power of it. He says, there are things that if I allow, I'll go to the extreme of it. I have no control. And you've got to ask the hard question. Do you want to be a disciple? Or do you want to be a victim to how your flesh talks to you? See, the reality is that all of us have issues of one or another. But what Christ has called you to is not to a place where you sit in the pew and you wait for that message to come across that pulpit that's going to encourage you for the week because you just wore out and weary. Pastors don't want wore out and weary people in their church. Let me just help you understand. We love people excited and jumping. We get happy too. We got enough burdens. But the reality is this, is that you have to know there is an extreme. And when Paul said, I will not be brought under the influence of any. But then he says, be not drunk with wine, but be drunk with the Holy Ghost. Is that drink at night that important? Maybe you're watching online and you're saying, why is he starting that way? Because maybe there's somebody out here tonight that thinks you can do both and still keep going. I want to tell you, Jesus put it this way. He said very simply, either you're with me or you're against me. There's no middle ground with truth. If you, you know, there's an old song back in the day, I may say it wrong. Is you is or is you ain't my baby. I saw it on the cartoons one time. Tom and Jerry, there was. And is you is or is you ain't God's baby? You got to determine. Are you in or you out? You in, you out. You got to make up your mind that if I'm going to be a soldier worth my salt. How many know what that means? Anybody got a microphone? Or we set that up, our tech team? All right, let's get somebody over here. I want to hear, what does that mean, a soldier worth his salt? Where does that come from? Does anybody know?
They came from the military.
Thank you for that. Yes, they came from the military. But what's the meaning of it? A soldier worth his salt. Salt. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I think it's back in the Roman days.
Yes.
Stuff like that. The soldiers were paid with salt.
That's exactly right. And go ahead.
And so if you want to get paid or whatever you did, that you would have to perform to get your pay, which is
right.
Salt.
So in other words, they would pay the soldiers with salt. And that's where the phrase comes from. He's worth his salt. Meaning you are a soldier in the army of the Lord, and you have put off the old things. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm pretty sure it's chapter 4. And I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. I want to show you something here. Because in order for us to find the joy that we're looking for, how many are looking for joy? You just want to be happy, okay? Let me tell you where you will find yourself always unhappy if you are in either extreme. If you are so given to your flesh, there's no way you're going to find happiness because you can't keep that pressure up. It's never meant for you to have that. And some people say, well, you know, they get in their mind, well, you know, it's there, so God gave it to me, so I guess it's okay. No. He gave the entire world to man. He said, don't eat off that tree. Even if he gives you the entire world, he's not going to want you to eat off the thing that could hurt you. So that excuse goes out the window. You've got to have discipline. You can't ride to the extreme. You can't let your flesh rise to the extreme. Because if you do that, you won't be a soldier worth your salt. Take a look at what he says. Go back to verse 1, please. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ. God gives every one of us grace to do what we do. You can't do it by yourself. Grace is, by definition, is unmerited favor. It simply means that you've got something that isn't yours. You're not as good as you look. Oh God. How many know that there are things in our lives we don't want anybody to know about, right? All of us got issues, right? So we're not as good as we look. It's called the grace of God. God's grace is on you so that you can do what he wants you to do, but never let it get in your head, it's all about you. And it can, when you can't be in your flesh and please God. You can't do it. You can't do it. You have to respond to him with like kindness. You got to be, what he enjoys is hanging around spiritual people, because God is a spirit. You got to have a spiritual side to yourself. See, people think in the world, yeah, I'm very spiritual. Let me tell you something. Oprah Winfrey, people love Oprah Winfrey, but let me tell you something. I stand up and I stand in opposition to what she teaches. When she first walked in her calling, God graced her. People laugh, because everybody remembers the color. How many watched the movie Color Purple? Oprah Winfrey looked rough. Come on, somebody. I mean, she looked rough. But yet God graced her to have some amazing makeup artists. And she's on TV, and she started out as a believer. She was a Christian woman, and she didn't have any problem talking about Christ on her TV show. But as she began to blow up and become bigger and bigger in the eyes of men, she started to say, well, I don't want to offend anybody. So I'm going to say, maybe there's more than one way to get to God. The first mistake she made, her salt value began to diminish. The Bible says, how can you savor salt that's lost its saltiness? What is he talking about? When they used to put salt together, they would have these huts in these locations, and they would put it on the floor. And when they laid it on the floor, the moisture from the ground would come up into the salt and then take away its saltiness. Now it's not worth anything but to be trampled under the feet of men. You can't use it. You can't. Salt is a preserver. Salt is a flavor enhancer. When you have salt, you do whatever you do is better. That's why the Bible says, when it talks about how we should speak as believers, he comes out of Galatians and says, let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt. Man, look at that word work. You got grace on one hand, and then you got salt on the other. Let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you might know how to answer every man. And when a person comes to you and wants to know who Jesus is, you got to be able to say it in a way that is tasteful. Oh, my God. Some people say, well, this is just who I am. I just got to say what's on my mind. The whole world don't need to know what's on your mind, because you're crazy. We don't need to hear everything coming through those veins and those squares in your head. No. Keep it inside. If we heard, could you imagine coming to church on a Sunday morning and everybody's inner thoughts? You could hear. There'd be no more hugging. The welcome would be shut down. You know, everybody be discouraged, looking at themselves. What they think? Ooh, you better not. And it'd be horrible. So what God does, God says, when you talk to somebody, you got to have something on the inside that allows you to talk to people on the outside. And that's called saltiness. You got to be worth your salt. You got to be a soldier worth your salt. You can't play the game of, I'm just going to put my salt in the hut and it'll be all right. You can't hide salt. You can't hide light. You can't hide a city. You are to be set out so that the world sees you. Don't have a closet where you lose your saltiness. God dog almighty. What am I talking about to everybody? Listen, God doesn't want us to be people pleasers. He wants us to be God pleasers. He wants you in your secret closet. Your secret closet where all the salt is. He wants you there to be holy. Not in front of people. Not in front of people. Don't act like you got it together in front of people, because that's going to crumble. I'm telling you, I know when I'm at my breaking point. I've laughed, I've apologized. I remember when we were putting this church together, and I was working, man, me and Rocky, we were here 80 hours a week, 80 hours just cleaning, wiping. And when I'm thinking, I had a church of over 300 people, and I'm doing this by myself. Everybody telling me they're busy, but praise the Lord for the new building. And my filters fell off. You know, every one of us has a filter in our house to keep the dust out and keep the air cool. But if you don't change your filters when they need to be changed, it'll get hot pretty quick. Come on, somebody. You'll start to wonder, something ain't right. Something, ooh, lost. It's hot. It's hot in here. Ooh, what's going on? That's because you got to go change them filters now. Change your filters. You got to look at your salt. Make sure it's still salty. You got to watch it, because as a soldier, you're under orders. And if you're slacking in your orders, you ain't worth your salt. I remember I was around here, and I wasn't mean. Woo! I was not mean. I just said what came across my mind. I tried to catch so many words. Oh, dog. What'd you say? Got out. I had no filters. Nothing. Everything I thought came right out of my mouth. People were like stepping on eggshells. Okay, Pastor Steve, God bless you. And they were, and people were walking. And I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew that I had to go back to my closet. I knew it. Listen, there are times as a pastor, I got to get away. I'm telling you, there are times you got to get away and do what Jesus did and pray. You got to get in your secret closet where all that salt is developed and pray. Because just like Jesus said, the spirit is willing. My flesh was weak. Man, I was telling people, get out of my face. I said, you see all this work needs to be done? Pick up a broom, come on, and just move on. Hey, Pastor Steve, I just came by to see you. Why are you on to see me right now? I'm working. Are you working? Are you off work? Are you going to work? Or are you just coming by? I don't have time for this. Excuse me. Gone. Filters gone. People are like, oh, my God. I mean, I'm looking like, hey, you know, me and Rocky, I think I was the only person I was nice to was Rocky. We were fighting each other. Who's going to be the last one out of the parking lot? I drive a little further. He drive a little further. I said, I'm not waiting until you get out of the parking lot. I'm not waiting until you get out of the parking lot. We almost killed ourselves. We got it done, though, didn't we, Rocky? See, the reality is a soldier can endure like that because he got salt. Amen. He didn't give up. We didn't give up. I didn't give up. We kept moving. This is our orders. This is what we got to do. We can't complain about it. I can't let my mouth say whatever I think. I looked at my leadership. I said, I need to leave. I told him that. I said, I need to go on a vacation. I need to go to sunny Florida. But not here. I had to get away because I realized as a soldier, I was walking without salt. And I realized that truth. I tell pastors all the time, if you're a leader under great pressure, I don't care whether you're a pastor or you're a businessman, maybe you own your own business, maybe you're working for yourself. The reality is there comes a time where you have to take a break even from the work. And you need to let God work on you. Let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. In other words, that you got to make it palatable for someone to swallow. You just can't say anything. You've got to use wisdom and discretion. I tell people all the time, you know, when you understand the importance of people, your language changes. If the president walked in here today, how many would call him Donnie? How many would say, hello, Mr. President? Why would you do that? Why would you not call him Donald? Hold on. Let's get the microphone.
One thing, he's our commander in chief.
Okay, he's our commander in chief. Why? It's not on. Green mic.
Because of the position that he holds and what that position commands.
But why? Why? Why would you address him as Mr. President? Give me a reason. Okay, next person. Next person, then one in the back.
Because you're so comfortable with how the world is.
Okay, that's why you would do it. Yeah. But why should you, why would you call him Mr. President instead of Donnie or Donald? In the back there. Hand up in the back. Go ahead. Say it again. Guys, we need you to work on that. Say it again.
Respect.
Okay. Because of respect. Okay. But I would challenge you, because I've already told you that respect is based on what they do for you. Listen to me now. See, when you feel like you need to be, because that's, we hear that word, it's a machismo word. We hear that a lot in our culture, and we go, man, you gotta, you know, they disrespected me. They disrespected me. And we say that because we feel like they need to give me something. But how many know nobody owes you anything? See, respect is earned. You earn respect. Honor, you give because of their position. So we would honor the president, not necessarily respect, because you may not like all of it that he does, but you honor his position. I had somebody in the back here. Go ahead. I'm going to try to get some people that haven't spoken yet.
Does it have something to do with what you was talking about? I think it was 2-3 weeks ago about commitment.
Explain.
Remember you was talking about Jesus getting his feet washed?
Yes.
And one of the guys was like, I'm not washing Jesus' feet.
Right.
You know, and he brought himself down. He didn't know it. But when you come up to a president, it's kind of like, you committed to what America is doing. Like, this is your president. This is who he is. It's like Jesus. Jesus is your father. You know what I mean?
Jesus is not your father.
I mean, God is your father.
Yes.
Jesus is the son. But
so he's your what?
Lord, right?
Yeah. No. Yeah, of course he's your Lord, but what else is he?
Who? Jesus or God?
Jesus.
Brother?
Is that a question or an answer?
Both?
Yes, your brother. He's your brother. Okay, so anybody else want to try give a try? Why? See, it's very important that you understand when the president comes in, whether you're Democrat or Republican or Independent or Tea Party, or I don't care who you are, the Bible talks about, you know, respect the government that God put into place. And he says that you are to honor those people, and you honor them because of their position, and because you have it in you to honor. You give that to them, so you're not going to call him by his first name. Because you understand men of influence have value. With a word, he could war against another nation. So you're not going to let your words be loose in front of that man. You're going to be disciplined in front of that man. You're not going to tell him, hey, you know, what's up, Donnie? How's Ivanka? How's everything happening at the house? You're not going to do that, because you know that's a man of influence. And he can put the Secret Service on you. And you won't, it'll be so secret, you got to go get service after it's all done. You understand, he has power and influence. You don't talk to somebody that has power and influence. But watch this. In the house of God, we treat people so familiar. But we got more power. We got more power. I didn't say position, power, than some of the men that are in position in government. I'm telling you, but we treat the governors or the captains and generals of our own faith with such loosey-goosey. that we diminish their salt. So when you talk about them, you'll diminish them by how you speak to them. You've got to watch that because you don't know. The Bible says, who are you to judge another man's servant? He says, that person answers to God, meaning he has a commander. He was sponsored. You don't know what it took for that soldier to get to his rank. You don't know the knowledge he had to have through suffering and training to get to where he is today. You don't do that. See, even a man came and said, I killed Saul. Came to King David. I killed him for you. I killed him. I killed Saul. Didn't call him King Saul. Saul. And David said, were you not scared to touch God's anointed? He told his smallest one, go kill him. Killed the man. Man thought he was doing something good. But he wasn't disciplined. He didn't understand that though Saul fell and struggled and the anointing went on David, he was God's first choice. He was God, and he was king for a long time. You don't take things lightly because people make mistakes. You don't do that. That means your saltiness, something wrong with your salt. You got to look at the men of God and the people in this place, your brothers and your sisters, as powerful people that God loves. And not to take them lightly. Especially when it comes to elders or leaders, don't get too familiar. Now, I'm not saying we can't laugh and joke. I'm not saying that. But don't let the familiarity make you forget of the position. See, when they went to kill Jesus, I want to show you something. When they absolutely went and said, you know, they brought him before the Sanhedrin, and they made a decision to slay Jesus. What was in their mind when they had people stand up and try to accuse him of doing something wrong? They didn't understand who he was. They didn't know who he was. And therefore, they didn't speak as if they knew what they were doing. In other words, they discounted his value. I want you to turn to Luke 22, verse 59. We're going to come back to Timothy here in a minute. No, I'm sorry. Luke 23, starting at verse 1. Luke 23, verse 1. All right, watch this. Then the entire council took Jesus to Pilate, the Roman governor, and they began to state their case. This man has been leading our people astray. They didn't call him the Messiah, the Lord. They said, this man. The first thing that people would do when they want to diminish you is they change your title. They'll call you by your first name because they're thinking we're common. They sat in there and literally called him that man and didn't know that man was the Son of God. Didn't know it. Had no clue the power that was in them. The question then becomes, how did they slip? Because they had no grace and they had no salt. You've got to look at each other as powerful workers in the Lord. Give honor to whom? Say it with me. Give honor. Boy, y'all sound so sad. Let's do it again together. Give honor to whom honor is due. Even if you don't recognize them, even if you don't see it, even if, listen, I reckon if a man says he's a pastor, I'm not going to tell him he ain't. And I said, ain't. I know it. I'm going to say, okay, pastor, nice to meet you. Very nice. I don't know if he got one member or a million members. I don't know. But that's his call. I'm not going to judge him. But I respect it as a soldier that I've got to learn to be respectful to those around me. And I gotta, and as we get ready, what is that? What is the bottom line of that? It's called discipline. I don't allow my tongue, my attitude, my feeling, or my background change the way I treat the house of God. In Romans, it tells you gifts that God gives to the church. And one of them, he says, hey, if you have the gift of prophecy, prophesy to your full potential. Meaning, or to your proportion of faith. And so we think, well, it's talking about how to prophesy. No, it ain't. The next verse is going on and say, listen, if you're a teacher, teach well. You're a leader, lead well. In other words, whatever you do, do it well. A good soldier has a responsibility and he doesn't let it fall. He does it well. He understands that he's been called into the army of God and he has to be a soldier worth his salt. Discipline. 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 Say it with me.
Discipline.
Say it again.
Discipline.
Say it again.
Discipline.
Discipline puts you on a whole nother level. When you can control yourself, man, nobody can control you. That's the kicker. You have to tell yourself, I'm not going to drop the ball. I'm not going to take it easy. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Let's go back to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, I got to get this out before I go to my next point, because we've got to now recognize the house of God. You know, I see God doing a shift in our church. And we can't be lackadaisical about the people around us. We have elders. You should speak always with respect to them and honor to them. We have ministers. You should always speak honorably to them and vice versa. Okay? Watch this. It says, Timothy, why do we do that? Go back to verse 1. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. Again, each of you has the grace of God. It's the word charisma. It is the anointing. It's an anointing, the grace, the charisma, the ability to do something. Every one of us has been given an anointing to perform what he called us to do. And the quicker you can figure out what you're good at, the quicker you're going to be happy with your life. Selfish people always are unhappy because they're consuming and not giving out. But a good soldier always gives out and they find joy knowing I can give more and more and more and more and more and more because it's in you. It is your charisma. It is your anointing to let it out. And that's why some people can talk and they minister to people. Boom, 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 boom. They love doing it. And then when they walk off the stage, oh my God, I'm so tired. Why? Because the charisma gave me energy to speak the truth. Every soldier is given charisma. That's where we get our word charisma, the ability to speak eloquently. Watch this. Verse 2. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now, I need you to do something for me, Timothy. He's talking to the leader of the church in Ephesus. He says, now teach these truths. Don't let anybody tell you that there aren't truths in the world. Don't let anybody tell you everyone got an opinion. Don't let anybody tell you, well, that's how you see the word, is how I see the word. No, there's only truth. So, that isn't his doctrine. No, there's doctrine, meaning there are standard truth. He says, look, I've confirmed these. Now teach these truths to other what?
Trustworthy
people. Ooh, this is good. How many want to be a soldier for the Lord? How many want to be a soldier? Come on. I'm a soldier. I'm a soldier. I'm a soldier. I'm a soldier. Yes, sir. No. I ain't dying. I speak life. When I live, I live in the army. That's right. That bullet ain't going to hit me, baby. I'm going to raise in rank, baby. Ain't going to bury me. We used to sing ourselves right down in the grave. If I die, I die, Lord. Why you choose those lyrics? Why don't you just say, if I live, Lord. Just speak life. I remember hearing a song years ago about from Shirley Caesar. Talk about a man with one leg. Anybody ever heard that one? No, not Shouting John. The man with one leg. He was like, oh, the man used to limp around the church every day. And then one day, all people used to talk, that man need to sit down. But he would limp on in the Lord. Ah, he would limp on in the Lord. And one day, he died. And he went to heaven. One day, we're going to meet our master. We're going to see the glory of the Lord in the land of the living. He began to limp in heaven, saying, I made it. I made. What? Wait a minute. I was with you till you got to the point of talking about he limping in heaven. What? Why do you, who gave you those orders? Who told you that? We're going to be broken in heaven. So if I lose one eye, I'll see the tree of life, but I won't see the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. No. When you get, if I die, I die, Lord. Y'all ain't ready. No. A soldier knows his orders. He said, there ain't no limping in heaven. You whole, baby. You ain't taking your injury up to heaven. Come on, somebody. Your bad knees ain't going to make it past the pearly gates. Come on, somebody. So don't start speaking death over yourself. Ready? We just got to be ready. We got to be ready to meet all. You got to be ready to live now. You didn't met your master the day you got saved. Now live it. I need soldiers. I don't need people telling me about the grave. I don't need people telling me about beyond and yonder. I get it. Back in them days, I get it. Stuff was hard. But somebody got to tell the truth. Somebody got to say, well, we got to live here now. Come on, let's be soldiers. We don't have to worry about death. We're the undying army of the Lord. We will not die. We will rise and rise again. That's who we are. We're the undefeated army. You can slay me and you will see me again. Woo! That's what I'm talking about. I can get buck wild crazy with God because you can slay this flesh, but I'll be looking you in the eyes again. You're going to want to know who my name is and who I was under. You're going to want to know what I had on the inside of me. You can slay my body, but you can't slay my soul. I'm telling you, the God said in his word, do not fear him that can destroy the body, but fear him who can destroy the body and the soul in hell. At the end of the days, everybody gonna get their body back, whether you saved or you unsaved. And when you get your body back, some of y'all going up to glory and some of y'all gonna be in the flames. Y'all don't want that. You don't want that. You destroy the soul and the body. Everybody gonna resurrect from the dead. Everybody. All creation will be presented before God again. You will come before your commander in chief again. All of us. And the question he's going to ask, were you disciplined? See, last week we talked about that there are four disciplines you must have as a believer. And you got to have them at Frontier Church. You got to have them. If you're going to grow, listen, I'm taking the stress away from trying to get God to do something for you by crying and complaining. And I'm just saying, here, all you need to do is do this and he'll show up. See, you got to have that kingdom thinking that I don't have to go find him. I don't have to go up to heaven and bring him down. He's already here. I just got to go where he told me to go. He said, number one, prayer. You got to have prayer. He says, you go in your secret closet, close the door, pray to your Father in secret. Then your Father in heaven will hear you in secret and reward you openly. What is easier than that? You want God to hear you? Go somewhere and pray. Don't tell anybody else what you want. Hold your peace. Stop dropping hints. I pray God to pay my light bill. I believe God will. I believe God will. Yeah, you hoping somebody get on to catch on to that one. You know, you can't be, no, go in secret. You need a testimony. You need a testimony. Won't you try God? Go in secret, tell him what you want, and let him reward you in front of everybody. That's where I'm giving you keys to the kingdom. This is how the kingdom works. But if you say, I believe God's going to do this for me, everybody, would you pray for me and my strength in the Lord? Mm-mm. He wants you to go secretly. Talk to him. Prayer is number one. Number two, we talked about study. Study and read. Paul put it this way. Timothy, give yourself to the reading of the word and doctrine. What do you know about your faith? Do you know the six essential things you got to do or know in order to grow to maturity? Do you know those? Guys, we went through that when we did the college groups the last semester. We read and learned what were the six things. Those things you have to know. And I was desperately asking God, I hope one of my congregation would come back to me and say, I got it. Here's what that means. I got it. I got the six things. I can now share the truth. Because at the end of the day, God's going to hold me. And it's not going to be about how many people were in my church. It's going to be how many disciples I got. Come on, somebody. Jesus didn't go try to build church. He tried to build people. And see, a man will be judged by what he builds. And it's going to go through the fire. Can your people stand the fire? Will they go out of your four walls and do what the word says? That's what you'll be tried by. A soldier understands that. So a soldier understanding that ain't going to be settled just to be complacent. A soldier is ever seeking God in prayer. A soldier of the Lord is ever reading to get familiar with the landscape of the Word of God and studying so that they may grow as God wants them to grow. Studying the doctrine of the Word of God will help you to be exactly what you're supposed to be. You wonder why, if I'm a preacher, God will show me how to break down that word so that I can give it out. But if you're a worship leader, you're going to read and everything looks like worship.
Yes, that's true.
You're a businessman, you're going to hear business principles all around in the word because you're down in the doctrine and he'll teach you right out of the word. You're a nurse, you're going to hear how God can use you and how to be a better nurse all in the word because you're a soldier and you're learning and God's putting salt in the corner and God's building your worth, developing your worth by prayer, studying and doctrine, reading and studying, and your value begins to grow. And you start talking, people say, you look salty. Say, thank you. I'm a little salty right now. I feel good. Why? Because you're growing, maturity. See, the whole thing about God is to bring you to perfection. And people say, oh, I'll never be perfect. Only Jesus is perfect. No, Jesus said, these works I do, you even do greater because I go to the Father. I'm one man. I'm going to hit a whole nation full of people with this same power. And he said, you'll do greater works than these So quit telling yourself, I ain't Jesus. You ought to be better than him. You have more time on earth than he had. Amen, somebody. Amen. Listen, you got to understand this. I said this to my son the other day. I mean, we were talking about some things, and my son gave his life at 4 years old to Christ. He came to me, you know, for years I said, ain't no way a kid at 4 years old can give their life to Christ. They going to forget that. No, he don't know what he's doing. My son came to me with understanding in his eyes. He says, Dad, I understand Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I don't want to live without him. How do I get to be saved? And right then and there, I led my son to the Lord. Led him to the Lord. And he was 4 years old. So spring passed many years, and I said to him, you can't complain to me about struggles. I said, you only got Jesus beat by 4 years. See, y'all missed that. Jesus was born with the Holy Spirit. And he became 1 year old with the Holy Spirit, 2 years old with the Holy Spirit, 3 years old with the Holy Spirit, 4 years old. Wait, my son had the Holy Spirit at four, walking with him, till now. There ought to be some fruit. Come on, somebody. We are without excuse. I got hit with the Lord at 19. I ought to have fruit. And it should remain. See, that's maturity. That you have to recognize from day zero, Jesus had 33 years to do what he had to do. 33 years. Some of us have had Jesus longer than that. So greater works ought to we do. Ought to we do. That's not a word, but I just made it up. Ought to we do. We're soldiers. Look what it says. You have heard and teach these things that you have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people. That's the soldier in you. People that won't drop the ball. People who won't pass the ball. See, when you're a coach and you say, okay, you get in that huddle, the team captain says, here's what we're going to do. The quarterback says, I'm going to hand off to the right. All right, I'm going to give up to the fullback. Fullback, you take the ball, you run for the touchdown. Everybody okay? On three. One, two, three. And you get out, and you get in formation, and you get ready. And then he says, hike! He doesn't give it to the wide receiver. He's supposed to turn and give it to the fullback. He doesn't change the orders. He makes sure that I follow the order because that's the only way you're going to get a touchdown. How are you going to be a good soldier? You've got to have the discipline and know the doctrine and study. You got to have a prayer time that invokes the presence of God. Because when you study, well, how's that work with reading and studying? Because the Bible says he shall lead you into all truth. So the moment you open up that book and you begin to read, the Holy Spirit has to come down and start to lead you. You are now in the presence of God. So you don't have to go after him. You don't have to go to another revival to find. Come on, somebody. You know, we all, you know, that's what people say. Ronnie Howard Brown. Listen. I love every leader in the Lord. But what makes you think he can't meet you where you are? Who told you that? If you get in your closet, you get in your word, he will manifest himself to you. You don't need anybody. You don't have to go to some great revival. And I remember when they had it down in Pensacola, people were leaving their churches in droves. I got to go. I got to be where the fire is. And didn't understand that they had fire inside of them. I'm telling you the truth. So that you don't have to go anywhere to get God. You can go when you want to. That's not putting anything down. You can go to every revival if you want to. But don't go thinking that they got something you ain't got. I'm giving you kingdom thinking. The discipline of a soldier understands, I must have a prayer life. Have you established that? Yes or no? Have you established it? I'm not talking about walking all the time. Yeah, I'm talking about all day. I told you about that. I said set a time to meet him. I tell you, the Genesis says he walked in the cool of the day, 3 o'clock in the morning. Since Genesis, he's been waking people up early in the morning to commune with them. People all around the world don't even know each other. Man, I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I just couldn't go back to sleep. Or I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't understand why I was just up like that. Because he's doing the same thing as he did in Genesis. He's still calling you out of bed for fellowship. Amen. Now that's the third point. That's the fourth point. We said prayer, study and reading. And then we talked about acts of love. And the final one is fellowship with him. Fellowship. Just put down fellowship. Because it's not only with him, it's with us. A soldier will never leave his platoon on his own. A soldier will never approach the enemy on his own. He relies 100% on the soldiers around him. So if they're hurting, he's hurting. If they're wounded, we leave no one behind. That's a good soldier of the Lord. When you understand that God is asking us to move into the area of fellowship, meaning that you are walking with one another in the Lord. Look what it says, and I'm going to move on with that in just a second. Who will be able to pass them on to others? You can't pass nothing on to other people if you're not around other people. Simple logic. You got something to pass on. You have what? Charisma. You have it. Every one of you has something to pass on, but you've got to be around people. God made a people. He didn't make a throne and sit it down on earth and we go to him there. He put it in you so you can go to them. Watch this. And he says to pass it on to others, that they have a taste, a soldier who has, all they want to do is follow the orders. What you give me, I'm going to give away. That's why I tell you, when you come to Bible study, keep your notes and then go and tell somebody what you just learned. That's how you keep what you have. See, when we hear something, I sat in Sunday morning, I sat in the back of the church at 9 o'clock when we were meeting with all our leaders. And I asked a simple question. What did I preach last week? I did. What do you think they said? I don't know. Every one of them, except one, finally got it. She had notes. She opened up her book, started telling me what I said. I was like, she's a soldier. Oh, y'all don't want to sing with me now. She's a soldier. In the she's a soldier. See, the reality is, I looked and said, yeah, somebody got it. That defines me. Gosh. If in your mind you think you have to wait on me to tell you what to do, you're not a soldier. Because every soldier is put under a captain, but that captain ain't the top guy. There's a chief who says, send this down, and the orders come down. That's the Holy Spirit bringing that down to everybody. But listen, if you're waiting on a word from me, I'm just waiting for God to speak. I hope you got a battery in that watch. I hope it operates by solar power, because you're going to be waiting a long time by yourself. A soldier knows his orders. You don't have to tell them. They just move into position. And let me give you insight. You want a word from the Lord? You want God to call you out? Let me give you a clue. Get in the closet. See, think about it. I can only tell you what he tells me. And he talks about people that are talking to him. So you want a word from the pastor? No, you don't want a word from me. Because I already told you my filters can fall off. You want a word from the Lord. And God talks to me about people that walk with him. I mean, it's the easiest way to speak. I know things about them. I confirm things about them because he is telling me why. Because they are spending time with him. And that's the key. I'm telling you, a kingdom key. Fellowship. When you are with God and you come among the fellowship, then he tells the leader about the soldier that is doing well on the field. Listen, I don't have the power to elevate. I don't have the rank to elevate. He is the one who elevates one man and puts another down. Don't look to me. I'm just following orders. But if you get in your prayer closet and you become disciplined in your life and you're waiting for a word from the Lord, I'm telling you, be like the soldier on his knees in the word, loving people, then God will speak to those who you respect. And then you will know what you need to be doing. You got to be a soldier in the army of the Lord. That's what a soldier is. Your pastor is not your commander in chief. I'm not. I don't even know what I am. I may be one of the, I'm not even a general. I'm not even a general. Apostles, there's still apostles and apostles over me. I'm a pastor. Maybe one day that'll come. But let me tell you something. There's rank even in the house of God. He said, first came the prophets. First came the apostles. Secondarily, the prophets. He said, these five gifts God gave to the church, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, and the pastor who teach. We say, oh, that's a fivefold ministry. No, the word was a conjunction. Pastor and teachers, meaning pastors that teach. I thought the cap was on it. But the apostles come first, so I'm in the army of the Lord. Listen, I understand rank. When Bishop Kimball was here, I understood rank. You got it, brother. You got the pulpit. I need what you have to anoint my elders and deacon. Question over here. Raise your hand again, please.
So how do you become, who tells you you're an apostle or a bishop? Because a lot of people say, well, I'm an apostle or I'm a bishop. Is that something that God says, or can you just say I'm an apostle?
No, you can't say it. Number one, you can desire, the Bible talks about in Timothy, you can desire the office of an elder or the bishopric. You can desire it, but you have to be proven. Deacons have to be proven well worthy of their deaconship. Before they become deacons. You can't say I'm a deacon just because I want to be a deacon. You can't say I'm an elder just because I want to be. No, where have you served? Elders are responsible for distributing the word of God. Deacons are responsible for working the work of ministry. So their hands are in the plow. They have earned that right to be a deacon. Now, some people give it because they want, I'll give a title to this man because he got money. You'll see stuff like that. But the truth says that a deacon ought to earn, because he said, pick out among you faithful men and full of the Holy Ghost. That means they were in the closet, y'all. They were already in, those soldiers were already salty. They said, pull up out of the congregation people like that. That's when God speaks. Because everybody around that person will know, you ought to be in ministry, man. You'll hear it everywhere. And then God, like I told you before, because they're in that closet, God will speak to leadership and say, that person needs to be in leadership. That person needs to be this or that, or this or that and that. because God is always communing with them. And so there's an order, but in order to evoke the presence, prayer, okay, studying, reading, got it, acts of love, right, because God is love. If you want God to show up, give love, and then he shows up because he is love. You are giving him. So you want his presence to show up? Give love. When I'm sad, I give to others because I need God to show up for me. And then finally is that fellowship, y'all, where as a soldier in the army, you are serving your fellow man, your fellow soldiers. You're not waiting on to be told what to do. You're getting up and doing it because you see it needs to be done. You have it so that the apostle says, choose you among yourselves, seven men. And everybody knew who to choose. Why? Because those men were working without a title until God gave them one. And here's the reality. God's called us to fellowship with one another because this is the house. The Bible says the church is the pillar of church, truth. This is the place where we come and the gifts are utilized to help, and you begin to learn them and walk with them and begin to craft them and design them and work with them, and so that when you go out into the world, you're a good soldier. And God ain't looking for people to be sitting on the sideline. And he's not looking for soldiers that go AWOL. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people going AWOL. They'll leave the place God told. I mean, you'll hear it all the time. Pastor, God told me to be here. That's why I'm here. Fast forward a year, and it ain't going their way. I think God told me to leave. God is speaking to me. I need to leave. Wait a minute. Is God schizophrenic? Does he lose his mind? Does he change like that? Is God changing? I mean, I thought he knew the end before the beginning, so he just brought you here to frustrate you? Or should you be like a good soldier and submit to the chain of command? Fall in line, hush your mouth, and put yourself on the front line and help somebody else. Quit complaining. Quit talking about it. Quit talking about it. You don't, I say this again. If everybody come to you, there's a problem. If everybody has a problem and they dumping on you, there is a problem. Now, I don't have any problem exempting those who are there to help others. But those who do that will never let gossip be there. If you have the ability to counsel somebody, first thing you're going to say is, whoa, have you gone to them? Because you're a soldier under marching orders. The Bible says if you have an ought with one another, listen to me, it's in the fellowship that stuff comes. You're going to say, listen, hey, stop right there. I don't need to hear it. Have you gone to them? Well, no, I haven't gone to them. They ain't going to listen to me. Listen to me. You need to go to them and try to work it out. And you know what happens? They go in and it's not even what they thought. They had an offense out of nothing. I had a person tell me, come to the church and say, Pastor Steve, come in my place, in my office. Tell my staff, Pastor Steve mad at me. Listen, I graduated from college. I ain't studying you. I'm not mad. I'm not thinking like, man, God get them. No, you're feeling guilty. Get back in line. Get back in order. Get back on the line. Stop telling everybody excuse after excuse why you can't follow your commands. Do what the Lord told you to do. Get in line and watch success. Because the Bible says, let everything be done decently and in order. He didn't say discord. He didn't say, all right, everybody got a gun? Go get them. We'll be shooting each other dead. You with me? I don't know. We'd be shooting each other because we don't know who the enemy is. No, there is a structure and an order. And so we are so, we are so, listen, there's going to come a time where you can't use the excuse anymore. I've seen it abused. Because we want to say, well, I've seen people that done it wrong. And so it's hard for me to submit. Get over yourself quickly. Come on now, look at your neighbor and say, get over yourself. Come on, say it like you mean to say it. Look at him in the eye and say, get over yourself. Because the very fact that you're sitting in this place means God already solved your problem. And yet you're looking back into Egypt. You can't do nothing but think about the leeks and honey, onion, leeks and what is it? No, was it leeks and onions? Leeks, you can't think nothing about that. But leeks and onions, that's supposed to be spices. That's all you got to eat. You're putting cinnamon in your mouth. You don't go look back in your back like, well, I was broken. I was hurt before. And I can't really trust nobody. I just can't do this. Get over yourself quickly. Because God has already redeemed you. Start to understand he already did it. Understand. Start walking. Start walking with the rest of the healthy people. You ain't have to always have a problem. You ain't have to be the one and always complaining. Listen, get in order. We're so not used to that. Can I agree? Can we just agree that we're not used to hearing that kind of thing of telling somebody, get in order. We got guards up. What you really trying to say, Mr. Jim Jones? Y'all know who that is, right? Drink the Kool-Aid, baby. Jim Jones led a whole group of people. Charismatic. I didn't say that, charisma. It's charismatic. And he led a whole bunch of people to an island and had them drink some Kool-Aid. Now, I don't know about you, but if it was me, man, I'd be the only one on the island. I'm like, yeah, I drank it. I got to go do something. I'll be back. And then they find me. They'll be doing interviews for years with Steve Yates. Yeah, I knew I had to get out of there. Everybody else died. You got to know who you are. You got to know as a soldier, hey, listen, that don't even sound like God. Why? Because you got to be like the Bereans, who when I tell you something in the word, you don't just take it for granted. You go home and study to see if what I told you was true. They were called more honorable than other men. Why? Because some men don't want to study. They just tell me what you want me to know, Pastor. Just say it. Just give it to me. Give it to me. And God said, I want somebody to say, I got to check that one in the word. I'm not mad. I don't question my pastor. No, I don't question him. But I just want to validate what he's saying because I want to be comfortable with that word. And when you then read it for yourself, you go, got it. And you go back for more. See? But you can't do that if you ain't in fellowship with the church. You have to stay in fellowship because certain things about yourself will never develop unless you're under the church. You have a question?
I just actually had a comment.
Okay, quickly, please.
With the under the authority, falling under the authority of your leadership, a lot of times, even with myself, and I'm speaking to myself, it's difficult sometimes looking back from where you've been at your age, how long you've been in ministry, how many churches you've pastored, everything that's involved with that, and then you come into another church and have to fall in under the authority of that pastor, it can be very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not an excuse.
Yeah. I want you to look at somebody and say, look somebody in the eyes and say, goy. 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 No, y'all don't look at me. Don't look at me crazy. Look at the person next to you. Do what I said. See, watch this. See, that's the problem. That's the problem. Look at me. Look at me. Watch that. I gave you a command. Y'all wanted to judge the command. What you talking about, Pastor? You're not in all that guard. I ain't even in the dictionary. What's he trying to get me? And y'all talking about murmuring. Y'all should have just done it. Go away. And then wait for it. Wait for what it means. But don't look at me like, I ain't never heard that word before, so I ain't going to say it. You ain't going to get me in trouble. Oh, yeah, see? You got to be a good soldier. You got to be worth your salt. You got to be disciplined. Man, what? Thank you so much, girl. See, when we go places, you know what? People, when they see a Frontierian, they ought to be like, now that's a church right there, boy. Woo, woo. Them boys who come out of Frontier, man, they know the word. They don't play. And when it comes to God, they all in. Man, them jokers, man, don't play with that church. They ain't going to let you do that. Look at your neighbor and say, goy. It means get over yourself. And some of y'all got stuck right there. Just as soon as I did it. Goy. I'm not over myself. Get over yourself. See, it's in the simple ways that God, see, a real servant of God is someone who ain't caught up with how to do it. Just that it gets done. That's the truth. Because you remember, God never told us how every church should operate. He just said, I'm going to put holy men in place. And then how I tell them to make the church look is how it's going to look. That's why you got some churches, man, they hate it. I mean, you'll never walk up in there and see a black background at the front of the church. They'll think we're devil worshipers. Then you go to churches, it's all black, and they're worshiping, and the presence is everywhere, and they're just all in. God has different ways to build a church. He's trying to reach every type of person on the planet. Can anybody prove that for me? You got to prove it by the word. Come on, soldiers. You got your orders? Let me hear, right here.
Paul said, I will be all things to all men that I might win a few.
Absolutely. That's good. Good. Somebody else. Let me hear another soldier. How do you know? What was my question? How do you know God wants to reach every different kind of people? Go.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Yes.
That whosoever.
Uh-huh.
I'm a whosoever. You're a whosoever.
Uh-huh.
Believes in him.
Yes.
Should not perish, but have eternal life.
Amen, sister.
For he came into the world.
All right, stop right there. Praise the Lord. Amen, sister. Amen. Somebody else. Somebody else. Give me, how you know he's trying to reach the world?
He said, go and make disciples of all nations.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good. Yes, sir, soldier. Yeah, somebody else, give me something. How you know? How you know? How you know your marching orders? How you know he's trying to reach everybody? See, God doesn't care about how you do it, just that you do it. Can anybody, okay, go.
He would that all would come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Okay. Can anybody give me a parable that proves it? Parable. Out of the scriptures. See, this, go.
The one where he tells to go into the highways and the byways and bring everybody in?
Yeah, he made a comment. Hey, listen, you know, go out in the hedges and the highways and bring them in. Good. What else?
The lost sheep. He would go after the one sheep.
That God goes after the sheep. Yep. He goes after, leaves the 99. Good, good. That's a good one. Lost coin. Okay.
I have a question.
Go.
What is a parable?
A parable is when Jesus, in the Gospels, what he would do, he wouldn't tell them outright what he meant. He would tell a story. And the story had a point to it. So they understood it by parables. He would use stories to illustrate a spiritual point or a practical point. So if he said he went in a room with a whole bunch of sinners and people that were of the world, and he sat at a party with them, but he wasn't of them. Jesus sat at the party and said, hey, guys, let me tell you a story. and he started to tell the story of the lost sheep. He says, man, y'all know, like, if a man had 100 sheep, now, because they were all sheep herders, a lot of sheep herders in that day. Everyone got the illustration. Yeah, I get that. I see sheep every day. He says, won't they leave the 99 that are righteous, doing well in the pen, and go after the one that went astray? Everybody like, yeah, that's true. Man, I see him out there going after that one thing and leave the others because they all good. He goes, and when he finds it, doesn't he go out there and he put it on his shoulder and he comes on in and brags about it and has a big feast about it. And he goes, yeah, because they're happy. They've been looking for that animal. Yeah. And he says, so all the angels do. They rejoice in heaven when one sinner repents. So he uses a parable to sinners who have been feeling rejection to tell them in a story, God loves you and he wants you. Okay. All right. Now watch this. I'm going to give you one. I'm going to give you one. Did somebody else have Anna? Anyone else want to give one? Okay, go. What do you got up there? The Good Samaritan. No. Because the Good Samaritan was talking about loving each other and who's your neighbor, but not necessarily that he's going to get after. Well, yeah, you're right. That is true. Because who's my neighbor, but even the ones who would be my enemies. I'll give you that one. What about you, sir? He asks this question. This is incredible. He says, wouldn't a parable be important to understand spiritual principles? Didn't we talk about this last night? I said, I just learned last night, it goes both ways. I was studying the word last night, and I was in my reading and study time, and I saw that he will use parables, number one, to express spiritual principles, and he will use spiritual principles to express natural principles. Let me give you the illustration. Do you guys remember the day Jesus was out and he was, there was a man with a demon inside of him, and he cast it out. And the Pharisees and the scribes looked at him and said, man, you cast that thing out because you got Beelzebub in you. You got a devil in you. That's why you're able to cast it out. And Jesus looks at him and says, hey, y'all, hold on. Time out. Time out. How you do it? Yeah. Man, I had a moment right there, baby. I'm tired, baby. I got to rest. I need a break. Time out. That ain't even a senior moment. That's a Stephen moment right there, baby. Okay. And so hearing what they said, he warned them and said, watch it now. He says, every sin among men will be forgiven. Every blasphemy will be forgiven against God the Father and God the Son. But against God the Holy Ghost, it won't be forgiven. He says, if I cast out the devil by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. He says, don't call kingdom evil. You try to call the Holy Spirit evil, you're in danger of losing your eternal life because he won't forgive you. Not now, not ever. He says, you can talk about me, you can talk about God the Father, but the Holy Spirit, don't look at what I do and tell me that's the devil. He will have a problem with you. And then, watch this. He goes into this spiritual principle that was like, why did he say that? He goes, don't you know that when a devil is cast out, it goes in the dry places of the earth, seeking a place to rest? He's talking about a spiritual principle. See, they don't know this truth. He had to reach for a spiritual principle to give a practical truth. He says, they leave a body. Now, let me back up. Right before he went there, he said three things. He said two things. He says, now, guys, the generation of Nineveh is going to rise up and condemn you, the ones who said this is a devil. He says, because the Pharisees said to him, if you're the Son of God, give us a sign. Give me a sign. All right, you say, don't say that, but then, okay, prove it to me. Prove to me that you are the Son of God. And Jesus said, you are a wicked and adulterous generation. In other words, you are evil and you have no loyalty nor faithfulness in this generation. You got none of that. Because whoever can give you the best show, you'll follow them? Are you kidding me? That's what Jesus was saying. Are you serious? He says the nation of Nineveh is going to rise up against you and condemn you because they turned at the preaching of Jonah. Remember the story of Jonah? Jonah went to Nineveh. He preached. And then they repented. They didn't have no sign, no wonder, no miracle, nothing. Preach word. Soldiers, you can't be asking for a sign all the time. You just got to just, God said it, I believe it, I'm marching it out. You don't have to tell God, I'm not going to move till you give me a sign. Well, then get ready, baby. You're going to be in the earth right there. You're going to decompose on your spot. God doesn't need to move for you. You need to move for him. And so he then says another principle. Watch this. He said, the queen of the south shall rise up and condemn this generation. Who's he talking about? Queen of Sheba. He's referring back to the days when Queen of Sheba left Ethiopia because she heard of the wisdom of Solomon and wanted to see it in person. Because he was the wisest man in all. She left her own kingdom to meet a man who had no power. He didn't have the finger of God. He could do no sign, no wonder. He just had wisdom. And she believed in Solomon just with words. And then he goes on to say, now let me give you a spiritual principle. He said, when a spirit is cast out of a man, because he's going back to what this is all about, the argument about a man and a person having a devil. He says, let me tell you something spiritual to give you a practical truth. When a spirit leaves a man, he, gender specific, demons, because fallen angels were demons. There were no she's. He walks the dry places of the earth, trying to find a place to relax, to call his home. And when he finds none, he says to himself, now, we don't know this. We don't know what demons say to themselves. We don't know what these spiritual creatures do, but he's giving you insight into the spiritual so you will understand the natural. He goes, they go out and say to themselves, I'm going back into the house I was cast out of. So they come back to the man, and here's what they said. They find the house clean, swept, and garnished. What does that mean? Number one, it's clean, no longer unclean. It's holy. It's been purified. It's swept. All that debris is gone. And it's garnished. Garnished means he made it look beautiful. And he says, then that demon says to himself, I'll go back in, but this time I'm going to get seven more wicked demons than me. And I'm going in that man. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now we think, oh, that's a spiritual, he's just telling us about demons. No, he was making a practical point. What he was saying, he says, so is like this wicked and adulterous generation. What does that mean? He says, dude, I show up, I'm casting demons out in this generation. They're coming out of people in droves. I just did it. And they're going everywhere. And they're gone. And the people that had the demons are clean, swept, and garnished, glowing, everything. I lay my hands on them. Demons leaving everywhere. Everywhere I go, I'm casting demons out. They're running everywhere. But there will be a time when I will not be here. And guess what those demons are going to do if you don't got something in the house? He says, this generation you think is bad now? I put out one demon. But when I'm gone, they're going to come back with seven in the worst state of this generation. It's going to be worse in the end because you want a sign. Woo! I'm like, that's powerful to me. That's a spiritual principle, gave you insight into the spirit world to let you know, listen, you're going to be like that man. This generation that rejects me is going to be like a man with seven times the demon in him. Spiritual principle. So it goes both ways. I have a question back here, and I think I saw a question here, back here.
Why is it that most stories in the Bible, when Jesus shows up, the first thing people say is, give me a sign?
Say that again now.
Why is it in most stories in the Bible, when Jesus shows up, most people are like, give me a sign?
Well, actually, it's not always like that. Most people just outright just rejected him. But that just goes to show you what he said. It's just what I mentioned is that they are a wicked and adulterous generation, meaning that they can be bought by the biggest prize. So if somebody offers them something better, that's where they're going. And Jesus said, I'm not going to give you nothing but to preach word. I'm not going to cow down to you wanting me to prove who I am. I don't got to prove who I am. He says, and if you're in this church and you ever told God, you got to prove it to me, and you're waiting on him to do that, don't be like that. You'll be just judged just like that wicked and adulterous generation. And you'll find that you aren't faithful to the people in the church. I guarantee you ain't going to be faithful to what God gave you to do because you're always waiting on a sign. I guarantee it. Ask the people around you, am I faithful? Ask me. If you find yourself always asking God for a sign instead of just taking his word and walking on it first, you're not going to be faithful in anything else. You're going to be adulterous in your spirit. That's why the Bible says a man who asks not believing is like a man tossed by the waves, tossed by the wind. Don't let that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. And you wonder, God ain't listening. Yo, he's listening every time you cry. But he told you what to do, but you won't follow your orders. You want God to move for you? Follow your orders. Do what he told you to do. Stop complaining about what you can't do. Start telling God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There ain't nothing I can't do. God, you tell me to do it, I'm outie. I'm on my way. See, that's the attitude that you must have in this room. But watch this. You don't even know this until you get into fellowship. See, truth, because he said the church is the pillar of truth. Truth is dispensed here. So if you break fellowship, you miss out on truth. And that truth will either set you free or keep you bound. It's true. Go. Okay, so. Microphone.
All right. Well, I've been going out, like, everywhere I go, and I'll talk to people about Jesus everywhere I go. And if they deny trying to hear from me, or if they deny prayer, because I offer to pray for people everywhere, if they deny me, does that leave them, are they denying the Holy Spirit?
Well, they're denying the attempt God made to reach them. But they, see, the Holy Spirit knows whether you know better or not. Whether that person knows better or not. So they may be ignorant. And so that's just one touch that God went out to reach them. So don't be mad if they don't move. You know, you just keep trying and let God do the rest. Got a question right here. You got a question? We got a question over there.
So if you ask God for a sign of something, right, you shouldn't always ask for a sign. But isn't, like, if God tells you to do something, like right now, if he sends a message to you to tell me that I need to do something,
okay,
wouldn't that in itself be the sign? What do you, like, I'm confused as to when you're saying, don't okay. ask God for a sign, but if his word is to do something, I mean, right
let
there.
Me, let me help you. I know what you're saying. Let me help you. First of all, the difference is this. You're telling God, I'm not moving because I don't believe it until you prove it to me. You're questioning God. But to say, God, I'll go, but I don't know how, or God confirm. You've already made up your mind to be obedient. Then you're asking for confirmation. That's different. See, remember the difference between Mary and Zechariah? When the angel came to Mary and said, "Behold, you're a virgin born, and you're going to give birth to Jesus Christ." She says, "Me? The least of these?" She says, "Oh, you know, give me a sign." But she was obedient. She wasn't saying, "I don't believe it." She said, "I'll accept it. I'll receive. Let it be as you said," is what she said in the word. But then go over here to Zechariah. Zechariah, old man. That's a young woman. It's an older man. This kind of goes back to what you're talking about. He knows, set in his ways. Angel appeared while he was in the temple and said, "Your wife is about to have a baby." She's like, "Oh, like dust." And he tells her, your wife is going to have a baby. You're going to name him John. And the man laughed and said, "I don't believe it." And he says, "Oh, you don't? You don't believe it?" He says, "You'll be blind until the day he's born." Eye gone. Because he was questioning God. See, Gideon said, "Lord," God came to Gideon and said, "Gideon, I want you to defeat this army." He says, "Okay, I'll go, but I just want to make sure that we're going to win. I'm going to go." Made up his mind. "I'm going to obey the instructions. Could you give me a sign?" And God gave him a sign. But here, they said, "We won't believe you. In fact, we think you have a devil. So to prove up to me you ain't a devil, give me a sign." Ooh, I'm out of there. I'm walking away. Like, I ain't got nothing to do with that one. Over here.
Didn't Jesus say that no sign will be given, but Jonah be in the whale three days, three nights?
I got it. But listen, what we have to do is we have to know that God is not going to be moved by your unbelief. He's only moved by your belief. David put it this way as we close: "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." You won't see the fellowship of believers is so essential that when you come in, that's where God determined in his infinite wisdom to pour out his spirit for healing, miracles, signs, and wonders. He gave the church order and structure so that when you're sick in the hospital, call for the elders of the church, and they will come and lay hands upon the sick with anointing oil, and they shall recover. Okay? So there's an order to the house of God. But that means you have to be here to experience that truth. When we go out and we out of church for a while, then it's harder for you to get back into church. And you don't know how dry you are until you come back to church. Have you ever had this happen where you've been out for a while, you think, "I don't need to be there. I'm taking a break. Oh, I hate that word. Taking a break. And you shrivel up like a French fry in a microwave. And you're like, I'm fine. Spiritually, you are hard French fry. And then you come into church, and all of a sudden you're like, "That was the best message I've ever heard. Oh, it was wonderful." No, you were thirsty. You were thirsty. We're growing, and you were dehydrated. So everything sounded good to you. I could have had the worst sermon in the world. You'd be like, "Oh, that was the best sermon ever heard in my life." She's thirsty. Fellowship. Do not forsake the fellowship as is the manner of some. Don't do it. This is where God can speak to you. He'll raise you up and put you in kingdom places. He'll give you truth that conquers the world so you can go back out and do what you have to do. Let's give God a great hand clap of praise.